Welcome to the Island Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper, Matt Moore. We're talking Bobcats today. The Charlotte Bobcats, the soon-to-be Charlotte Hornet Cats.
I'm torn because I love calling them the Kitties, but the Charlotte Hornets were one of the teams that got me into basketball when I was a kid. So it's like I'm like really torn. The fact that when they came out with the announcement that they were going back to the Hornets, I dug out my old Alonzo Mourning binder of basketball cards and was looking through it, and I got all excited. I'm thinking about buying a shirt.
Oh, I can say this because we're recording this on Thursday, but this is going up on Friday. So I'm sure you all have already read my rabbit hole post, the journey down the rabbit hole. It's Sean Kemp heavy, and there is a dunk in there where he goes like left-handed sideways on Alonzo Mourning. I think Alonzo was a rookie or maybe a second year or something, but it's like a very basic dunk, but it's because it's on Mourning and because it's Sean Kemp, like I literally jumped off my couch watching that yesterday.
Zoe has so many, he was posterized.
He was, and that's what I love about him, is because he did not care if you dunked on him. He was going to try to block you next time.
It's like in his book. Like he talks about it in his book. He's like, "What? Like, how do you expect to defend anybody if you're not willing to get dunked on?"
Exactly. And one of the coolest things that that I've ever been taught since I started writing about basketball is we were in Boston for the Sloan Conference, and David Thorpe was there, and we were all, you know, there's this big like nerdy blogger pickup game, and David Thorpe like just taught us, like he was there and he taught us a couple of things you know, before we started playing, and he gave this like little anecdote about how Alonzo Mourning, when he was going to block someone's shot in the post, would always take a slight step backwards to give himself like more space to not be knocked off with contact, and it helped make him such a good shot blocker. I would have never noticed that. Like, I try to notice a lot of intricacies about the game. I would have never noticed that from watching Alonzo Mourning, that he took, like, this little step back to give him room so he couldn't be bumped off and he could, like, have a clear shot at blocking someone's shot. Like, that's cool. I like it.
So amazing.
Little anecdote.
I love everything about Alonzo Mourning. I love everything about him. Just totally irrational, like, screwed over a lot of franchises, don't care. He was a childhood hero of mine.
Just what I thought the Toronto Raptors fans couldn't hate you anymore.
Yep, just don't care.
Oh, wait, was it the Raptors or was it the Nets?
I think it was both.
Maybe I'm thinking of Antonio. No, Antonio Davis played for the Raptors. I don't know. Now I'm confused.
He screwed over. There were several teams I know that were mad at him.
Yeah. So. Good job, Alonzo.
No, it was not Toronto. It was just the Nets.
Just the Nets, yeah. What about this idea that I just had popping in my head of combining animals for their mascot? Like, I know they've gotten Hornets approved, but the Hornet Cats, you had like some kind of like leopard with a stinger and wings.
Okay, so though I love the name, the Hornets, and I love their logo, I actually have a big phobia about flying animals with stingers.
You've been attacked by a bee lately.
He's still out there.
Well, yeah, I would assume so.
He's just hanging out waiting for me. I swear to God, like I feel like I'm going to turn around and he's just going to be pressed up against the glass just watching me. Oh, God, I hate that bee.
You know the cartoons where they act natural and they're like swinging a cane around and whistling and looking all around? I just imagine like that's what the bee is doing as it pretends to pollinate a flower.
So terrible. Like my kid like pointed at it the other day, like yesterday, he was like, bee, and that's what he says for his blanket. I was like, that's not your blanket. I was like, what are you pointing at? I went over there. No, it was an actual bee. And if you'd seen it, you would have like laughed your head off, because I grabbed the kid, threw him over my head, and was like literally yelling like, ah, running inside.
He probably thought that was the most fun thing.
Yeah, he did. He thought it was awesome. He's like, that was great. I'll do that again. I was like, I locked the door. Like, the bee's going to figure it out. I don't know. Open the door.
Set the alarm.
Yes. So no, I do not want to think about a hornet.
Hornet cat. Come on, hornet cats. Get after it.
Terrifying.
Beow.
So they... Oh, Zach. or just Zao. Maybe that's it. Zao.
Zao.
I liked their free agency. I hated their draft.
See, I'm okay on Cody Zeller. Actually, all right. I don't mind the pick for them. I do think they probably should have traded down to do it.
What if they gotten Ben McLemore?
That wouldn't be bad.
What if they gotten Caldwell Pope?
Especially with them signing Al Jefferson, like if we say everything else happens exactly as is, then you've got a core of Kemba, Macklemore, NKG, Al Jefferson, and somebody. Bismack.
What if they gotten McCollum?
Yeah, McCollum's a weird one because I don't know that he fits with Kemba all that well. Although, I mean, I guess you could say the same thing about Lillard. But yeah, I guess McCollum would have been a cool pick there. I guess it just believes, like, do you think Cody Zeller can be a starter in this league? Like, most likely scenario for him. Is he a starter in this league?
I think his most likely scenario is as a bottom 15 starter.
Okay. That's fair. So if he's somewhere between like a good six-man big and a bottom 15 starter, I guess it's not terrible. It's not inspiring.
I have this irrational fear that he's going to be one of those players that there's like a highlight mix next year of all the times that he was blocked or dunked on.
That's very, very possible.
I'm really worried that he's one of – and – I understand. I'm one of those people, not in the basketball sense, but in life. I get dunked on a lot in life. I'm okay with that. I've come to accept that, right?
That's why you just play three-point line to three-point line in life, and you can never get dunked on.
Exactly. That's exactly what I do, you know? Not Alonzo Mourning at all. So, but I feel like he's going to be one of those guys that you're just like, oh, man, Cody Zeller. Oh, man, Cody Zeller. Just over and over again. And I don't know what the super upside is for him. Like, what's the best case scenario for him?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we're going to get one bold prediction, hot sports take. Cody Zeller is going to have one of the top 15 dunks next year of someone dunking on somebody. Like, he's going to dunk on somebody. How about that?
Myers Leonard had that last year.
Yep. He dunked on an old man.
Dunked on Andre Miller, stared him down. That's what you
want to
do.
Yeah. I think, well, that's the thing. Like, would you rather have Zeller or Myers Leonard?
Zeller.
Okay. All right. So we've got a baseline there.
Is his, I feel like he's more athletic than this. Is his best case scenario Rick Smith's?
Well, I mean, that would be an excellent thing for him. I mean, that's probably way too high.
That's what I think. I'm not just trying to go with the white guy. Like, I'm trying to think of like a.
I'm trying to think of like someone who fits his playing style.
Yeah.
Maybe. Ooh, what about this? Can he be Antonio McDyess after his like third blow out of his knee? Because like
messed up.
Well, I mean, obviously he can't be Antonio McDyess at his peak because that guy was, you know, jumping over mountains and stuff. But, like, once McDyess was a little grounded because of knee injuries, he was still a really good player. Could Zeller get up to that point?
Is he quick enough?
That's a good question. Probably not. But is he?
Why I do not like the draft.
But is he a better – is he maybe a better, like, pick-and-pop type guy? McDyess could shoot. Maybe not. All right. Maybe that's too high of a ceiling. Yeah, that's
keep
a good
going.
Question.
Keep lowering the bar.
All right. Could he be what Byron Mullins was supposed to be?
Yes.
Wait. Is that an insult or is that a compliment?
The guy that spent 3 years with the Tulsa 66ers.
No, what he was supposed to be coming out of college. Not what he is. Not what he was. What he was supposed to be. Would you rather Cody Zeller or Bismack Biyombo? Or Bismack Biyombo? I know you have both if you're the Bobcats, but which prospect do you think is more likely a rotation contributor for you as you become a playoff team?
Zeller, I guess.
Zeller or Josh McRoberts?
I take McBob, man. I love McBob.
Really?
Yeah, man. His alley-oops are fantastic. He works hard.
Yeah, he had one that I saw when he was on the Pacers in Sacramento when I was still living in Sacramento and covering the team. He had one in a game that was like took the air out of the arena. And it was and you watch on YouTube or whatever And it doesn't, I mean, it still looks good, but it's not like spectacular or anything. But in the arena, like, you could just, like, the sound of it was so, and maybe it's because it was half empty arena, but the sound of it was just like, it was so powerful that it, like, everyone kind of gasped when it happened. Maybe Cody Zeller can do that.
Just YouTube Josh McRoberts 2013 alley-oop, and there's one from Ben Gordon that's just...
Yeah, it's sick.
Just sick. Really, really sick. So, yeah, I mean, is he quick enough?
Sure, why not?
Is he as quick as Josh McRoberts? If this is the question we're asking...
Oh, yeah. No. He's definitely quicker than Josh McRoberts.
If this is the question that we're asking about the number four overall pick, something has gone wrong.
Here's what I like about him, is that I think he's going to get a lot of cheap buckets by just getting out and running. Like, that's where his game is. He's a guy that can Corey Brewer his way into a couple of easy buckets a game by just leaking out, by getting out on the break and running.
Without Jefferson down low and Cody Zeller leaking out early, I'm sure the Bobcats interior defense is going to be something to watch.
Well, it's not like they were going to, you know, challenge the Pacers next year. I think you're just looking for improvement.
So basically what you're telling me is that you like the idea that the Bobcats are going to be so bad, Zeller can look good by cherry picking.
I mean, I'm just talking in a future sense, not necessarily next season.
When he's an all-star, we'll come back to this podcast.
And I'm going to pretend that I've talked him up the whole time.
Talked him up the whole time. Hedge, hedge, hedge. I mean, I like it better than Alex Len. So,
well, that's a start.
I like him better than Steven Adams. I like him better than Kelly Olynyk. I like him better than Lucas Nguera. I like him better than... I like him better than Jang, but not by much. I like him better than Plumlee. I like him better than Andre Roberson. I like him better than...
You don't like him
most
better...
Most of the power forwards and centers in the...
Who don't you like him better than? Noel?
I don't like him better than most of the wings.
No, I'm just talking like big men in the draft. Like, do you like him or Noel?
I don't like him better than... Yeah, I don't like him better than Noel. I don't like him better than Porter. Not Porter, but... Well, I guess if you want to include Porter as a power forward.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like him. I don't like him better than Bennett.
Okay.
Okay,
so maybe the third best big in the draft.
Yeah.
But not a good draft and not a great class of big men.
Yeah. Like, it's a bunch of bad bigs and a bad draft.
Okay.
And I still feel like you could have taken Ben McLemore. You would have had a defender that you could stick.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm not trying to pretend like they made the right pick. I just don't know that it was a terrible pick.
Yeah, for me it's a blown opportunity because it's...
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, and I mean, but part of it is like they obviously don't want to be horrifically terrible next year because they went out and spent the money on Jefferson, and so I'm kind of like, you know, you're not going to be bad enough. But I don't know. I will say this: I don't mind it that the Bobcats are kind of like, we're not going to tank anymore, and everyone's like, why don't they just tank? Why don't they just tank? And they've got to be like, we've done it like five times. We never get the number one.
Yeah.
The only time we get the number one is when it's somebody horrible.
Although, I hate this mentality of, and it's not just Bobcats fans. Like, it's a lot. Like, Timberwolves fans have this. I think Kings fans have had this, where it's like, oh, well, we never get lucky in the draft, so we're never going to get lucky in the draft. It's like, it's a lottery. Like, it's an actual lottery. Like, I don't think you can say that the draft is against you or the lottery is against you or whatever. Like, it's random. It's completely random. And so I just don't think, like, you can say, well, we've never gotten the number one pick, so we're never going to get it.
No, but I will say this, right? So there's a big difference between saying the lottery is against us. That's stupid. It's a lottery. Like, it doesn't have feelings. It doesn't have – it's not the beat, okay?
There are a lot of David Stern conspiracy theorists right now who are just screaming at you.
Yeah, just yelling. That's fine. I don't really care because they're idiots. So there's a big difference between that and what I'm saying, which is – I'm trying to think of how to do it. At a casino, right? So I do decent at the poker tables. I do pretty well to okay at the blackjack tables.
Sure.
I don't do well at craps. I don't do well at keno. I don't do well at a bunch of other games. I don't play those games, even though there's just as much of a chance for me to play those games as anybody else, because I haven't had good success there. So it's kind of the same thing, where I'm just kind of like, whether that's rational or not, I'm kind of like, there's other ways to skin it. So, and part of me is like, okay, if it's a lottery, there's also a chance that I can not get the number one and still get the, and or I can not get the number one chance in the lottery and still get the number one pick. So why don't I go ahead and try? Why don't I go ahead and try and find something else? And then if I get the pick, great.
Sure. Yeah, I get that. I mean, I just always feel like, I guess it's different if you had the worst record. The only option is for you to get the number one pick. But for other teams, I just feel like if you get a top three pick in the lottery, like that should be a good feeling. Unless you had the worst, record, then I get that anything less than the first pick is a bad thing.
I mean, and like I said, I think part of it is they keep putting their fans through so much, you feel like the obligation to try and get it a little bit better. I think is a lot of it.
Yeah, and last year I talked about like with Mike Dunlap that they kind of needed a culture shock, and so if they were going to press that, maybe then that's something they can hang their hat on, because it kind of jolts your organization out of just the same old crap that you go through. And that didn't happen, but I mean they were improved. It was hard not to be improved on being the worst team in NBA history, but it was an improvement. You saw some good things, you saw some bad things, and so maybe this is another way of doing that, of saying like, hey, we could just keep tanking, or we could spend some money, try to get marginally better, and see if that changes our fortunes as a franchise. I get that.
They've never had a number one pick. They've had two number twos, which were Emeka Okafor and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, a number five, which is Raymond Felton, and number three, which is Adam Morrison.
I'm noticing a trend here.
Let me just spit these names out at you real quick, okay?
Okay.
Emeka Okafor, Bernard Robinson, Raymond Felton, Sean May, Adam Morrison, Ryan Hollins, Brandon Wright, Jared Dudley, DJ Augustine, Alexis Ajinka, Kyle Weaver, Gerald Henderson, Derek Brown, Robert Baden, Kemba Walker, Tobias Harris, which they traded, Jeremy Tyler, who they traded, MKG, Jeffrey Taylor, and Cody Zeller. There are, by my knowledge of you, I think three players on that list that you like / don't despise.
Right. Well, Brandon Wright they traded. That was for Jason Richardson.
Yeah.
So that's right. Throw that in there. Yeah, the trend is not a problem of where they draft. It's just that they suck at drafting.
Yeah, they've just sucked so long at drafting. They're just bad at, and it's weird because I hate saying that, because it's like that's across multiple regimes. That's GMs, two owners, various front offices, coaching staffs. Like they've had so much change, and they just have missed on nearly every single one.
Well, and that's where you start, I think, kind of looking at like, all right, how much of that is the regime in terms of the front office, and how much of that is ownership making these calls? Because, like, did they get Sean May and Raymond Felton because they thought those two were the best players at those picks? Or was it, hey, we're in North Carolina, North Carolina basketball's big in this state. Maybe we can get some, you know? Like, how much was just poor direction from the ownership at the top part of those drafting mistakes?
Yeah. Well, maybe a lot of it actually points to a lot of their decisions were based off of these guys were good in college. It points to the whole metrics analysis and the more smart way of looking at drafting and more thorough scouting and all these kind of things. But there was a lot of, from what I remember, there was a lot of pressure of Jordan basically making an influence and being like, Adam Morrison's a gamer.
Yeah, and I don't think the Emeka Okafor pick isn't great, but I don't think you can blame them for that at the time.
He was not bad for them. He was pretty.
No, he was a good player. He was really good early on. I think he had some back troubles that maybe kind of hurt him a little bit. Maybe hurt the progression of his career. But he was a guy that, it was a legitimate debate of who should you take, Emeka or Dwight. You know, Emeka is this like commemorated college player, and Dwight is this unknown out of high school. And which one should you get? And they ended up taking the guy that Orlando didn't take. And so I don't think you can really blame them for that. But after that, like, you know, I guess Felton was an okay pick.
They did not take the guy. They did not. Dwight was number one.
Right.
Sorry, I thought you were saying that the
no, shows. No, they took the guy that Orlando didn't take.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Yeah. But, okay, like, the Raymond Felton pick, there's not a lot going on. After, I mean, they had just, so like, even if you think like, oh, you should have been higher on Andrew Bynum, Well, they had just taken Emeka Okafor, so that wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
And, you know, Darren Williams and Chris Paul were off the board. There's not a lot going on after that. So I guess the Felton pick is defensible. Although I don't really – like, I like Sean May, but I don't know that – I mean, I don't know that that pick is that defensible, but you're getting towards the middle of the first round, so whatever.
Well, I will say this. I don't think there wasn't – Sean May wasn't one of those guys that I remember as for draft experts being like, do not touch.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think there were weight concerns, you know, with him coming out of college, but I don't think it was like a talent war. I don't think people were worried that he wasn't good enough.
Right.
But then, like, the Adam Morrison pick, like, you know, whatever. Like, I thought Morrison would be actually a pretty decent pro. And the knee injury...
He did?
A decent pro. I mean, not, like, take him with a third pick pro.
I mean, Tyrus Thomas and Sheldon Williams were after him, so...
Yeah. I mean, I think like, I was big on Rudy Gay going into that draft.
Yeah.
That was a guy I liked. I actually was very not big on Brandon Roy, which, I mean... works out now, but for the first, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years after that draft, looked pretty stupid. But, like, you know, I don't know how much of it is bad luck and how much of it is just bad drafting.
Yeah. So getting back to what they did this summer, I like their free agency.
Yeah, they went out and got Al.
And Al, we talked about those guys that make a difference, right? So, like, there's guys that are so good you can't help but win 15 games. I don't feel like Al Jefferson's that kind of guy. Like, you can lose with Al Jefferson. That's fine.
Yeah. I think – and the thing is, like, everybody loves Al.
Yeah.
Like, having that guy around your organization, I think, goes beyond the court. Like, I've never – just talking to people here in Minnesota for when he played here – I haven't heard one person say a bad word about him. Like, there's not one bad story about Al Jefferson, and you almost never get that. And part of, you know, maybe that's just cliche or whatever, but, like, you really don't hear anything bad about him.
This Gerald Henderson deal, I know he's a restricted free agent and it just sucks, but, God, they got him back on such a bargain. Just such a steal.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Henderson dunks... And he makes those really game-changing impact dunks.
Oh, didn't he have a tip dunk against the Lakers last year?
Yeah, that was
that
he went
one,
over Dwight's back.
That was
just
sexual and violent.
It was brutal.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You know, I mean, he shot 45% from the field last year, 33% from three, which isn't superb, but there's a little bit of room for them to grow. He is 25, he's going to be 26, so he's going to make a leap. This is going to have to be the year. But he also averaged 15 per game. His per 36s are 18, 4, and 3 on 45% shooting. That's just a really good overall guy, especially when you look at what he brings defensively.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
And to get him back at $6 million per year, so good.
Yeah,
that's so good. They've got Ben Gordon, who will probably be happier under a different coach this year, at a 13.2 expiring contract, so they're going to have the ability to make some moves. I'm with you on Al Jefferson. They've got Sessions at $5 million on expiring. They're going to be able to move him if they want to.
Yeah.
MKG is a real big linchpin for them.
For sure. And I wrote about in Summer League about him – about the idea of changing his jump shot or fixing his jumper, and how they, you know, they hired Mark Price to be an assistant coach and he's working with them, and Lord knows Mark Price has credentials when it comes to shooting the basketball. I mean, it's hard to find a better guy to teach a guy how to shoot, but that's not an easy task. And so if he never becomes a great shooter, or I mean, even if he's just an okay shooter, does he impact the game enough? I think he does, but I'm not sold on it.
I like them bringing back McRoberts. I've always told you I like McBob. I'm very happy that they fulfilled a necessary situation in the NBA, that a Pargo must always be employed at
yes.
one point or another.
Yes, that's in the CBA.
It's in the CBA. It's in no. It goes beyond the CBA, Zach. This is in the gods of the earth have
definitely.
Written in stone.
Yeah,
Pargo must be employed.
It was the 11th commandment that fell off.
Yes, it fell off. Pargo must play.
Right.
I don't know. Jeff Adrian's on their books, but I don't know if they're bringing him back.
Oh, he's a man, though. Jeff Adrian is a man.
They may have bought him out. Jeff Taylor, you and I are huge on.
Oh, I love me some Jeff Taylor.
I love what I saw from Kemba last year. I love his crossover. Yep. What he gets in free agency is going to be real interesting. But I think that's going to be – and whether they give him the extension, that's going to be like a really interesting move. Biyombo, what he gets is going to be real interesting next year because I just don't know – like I don't know what you make of Bismack Biyombo at this point. He's definitely not the sun god that some of his disciples and that cult that he developed when he was drafted thought he would be. But there's some things that are not bad there. There's some possibility there. They've got some flexibility. If they decline all of their options, and they have to get rid of Kemba, but they decline all of their options, they got $26 million in space. Even with everything on the books right now, their total salaries for the summer of 2014, they're at 41. They're at the salary floor if they bring back everybody.
Yeah.
That's great. So they're going to be able to make upgrades. If they can just get this team to – but here's part of the problem, right? The pick is this is a big problem for them, I think.
Yeah,
that damn Tyrus Thomas trade.
Yeah, that sucks.
It's not good. It's top 10 protected.
They'll be one of the 10 worst teams.
Can they get that? That's gonna be like a really interesting thing to watch with the tank war, right? Is to get the number 9 slot. Where do you have to – how many wins do you think? 28?
I would say no more than 28.
I feel like they're going to dance with 30.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think they have the depth to dance with 30. I think, you know, it's unlikely a team's going to be healthy all year. I think one injury could really kind of take them down a big peg.
Kemba, Gerald Henderson, Bismack – or Ben Gordon and Ramon Sessions together – Jefferson, MKG. I feel like that's enough for 25?
Yeah, I think they're good. They won 21 last year. I think they're good for that again. I also don't know. The problem is we don't know what kind of coach Steve Clifford is.
That's true.
And that's, you know, that's another thing I know we talked about briefly when he was hired, but I don't know a lot about him. I know he's well-respected.
Yeah, it's really weird because usually Lakers guys, you're like, oh, I've been hearing about him for years.
But yeah.
I haven't read anything about him. I haven't heard people talk about him. I just don't know.
Yeah.
So, and maybe that's just because I'm not asked talking to the right people or I'm a bad journalist, which is definitely true. But in general, like, I just think that there's like a really – I think that there's a danger there of
I love when people say I'm a bad journalist. I was like, well, I have absolutely zero training in journalism, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think 20 – the overrunners are going to be interesting. I think that's going to be interesting to watch. I will tentatively right now go ahead and put them down for 26.
Yeah, I was thinking like 24. 26 I could be talked into.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if Jefferson just did have a fantastic year? It was completely upbeat the entire time. They were just getting wailed on, and he was still like – nope, averaging 25 points.
He just goes like 25 and 11.
Yep, 25 and 11, don't care. Making $13 million a year. I'm going to be a Hornet next year. Everyone loves me here. I eat for free. It's awesome.
Or a Hornet cat. I'm telling you, it's not too late. I mean, it is too late, but it shouldn't be too late. You should go for the Hornet cats.
I'm going to have nightmares about Hornet cats,
man. This is the way to go.
My kid wakes up at 3:45 in the morning after he woke up twice before. He woke up at 3:45 in the morning. And my wife, the devil woman that she is, asks, do you want a bar? Which is short for Nutri-Grain bar, which is like the only thing that he will eat. And the kid like gets really excited, like, bar. And I hate her at this point because now I have got him in my arms, so I have to be the one to take him downstairs and sit there and eat with him. And I went downstairs and made him a sandwich. And then I'm sitting there talking to the kid, and he says he had found these marmots when we went to Yellowstone, and he called them otters, and he pronounces it botters, which is really cute. But anyway, he looks at me. He says, Daddy, I'm like, what? Bodger's outside.
Oh.
I'm like terrified. I am not going to the dog's at the door being like, I want to go out. And I'm like, uh-uh. No. no ghost otter's going to get me. For the ghost otters and that bee, I'm not going out there.
He was like, all right, you finish up your Nutri-Grain bar. Daddy's just boarding the windows up.
Exactly. That's exactly what's happening. Okay, that's my story to finish for today.
All right. What do we give them? Are you writing this for Friday? For today, I guess?
I guess I am. Let's see. What am I going to give them?
What are you going to give them? I'll tell you what I'll give them. I'm going to give them a B+.
God, they hadn't drafted Cody Zeller.
That's how much I think of the Al Jefferson move. And something we didn't mention, Anthony Tolliver, another great guy to have in that locker room.
The Henderson deal, Anthony Tolliver, signing Al Jefferson, which is just them signing a free agent, I'll give them a B. It could have been, I would have given them an A minus if they'd nailed the draft.
So if they had been McLemore, A minus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll also go to a B. I'll drop him down to a B. I think it's good. I like Cody Zeller more than you, clearly.
But I also like Josh McRoberts more than you.
So. Yeah, but I also don't know how to talk you into him. And I don't really know how to talk myself into him. I'm just going with a gut thing here. I think he'll be a decent player.
Yeah, our experiment trying to talk ourselves into Cody Zeller did not go well.
That was dizzying.
Like, we just kept throwing out guys. Like we started with Rick Smith. Oh, no, not nearly that good. Then we went to Antonio McDyess after 3 knee injuries.
Yeah, battered Antonio McDyess.
Good luck, Cody. Prove us wrong, buddy.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Zach.